Hi, I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Schaup.
I'm Marcia Fulmer, and we are Theater Geeks.
Welcome to Episode 1 of Theater Geeks, the podcast about community theater, theater in general, and the performing arts. Today's topic, mistakes directors make.
Sounds so formal? There we go. Yeah, this is an experiment.
Okay.
Today's topic is mistakes directors make.
That is a great wide topic.
We could talking about this for
forever.
Like 5
weeks. All right, yeah, that's true. What is the biggest mistake directors make?
I think saying that they will direct.
Okay, all right. Well, that's all we have time for today. No.
I'm sorry. There's so many traps you can fall into. I think whether you're talking about a first-time director who obviously needs a more seasoned director to guide them through the process, if possible. But I don't know what would be the biggest mistake. I mean, you have to start off with choosing the play you're going to direct and then casting it. And I've heard it said, and I honestly, after many, many, many years, believe it's quite true, that casting, whether it's professional or amateur, is 90% of the success rate. If you get the right people in the right parts, it makes the director's job so much easier. I think unfortunately, in community theater, especially today, where people have 72 jobs and running kids all over the place to different activities and not enough spare time to devote to theater, that you don't always get the people that you'd like to get in order to cast your play, and therefore I hate to say make do, but you have to cast the people that are there that come out to audition because obviously they really want to be in the play. You know, so you have to, that's the first hurdle, I think. How about you, John?
Well, I definitely think that casting has a lot to do with how good a show can be. And I think sometimes if a director casts somebody, for example, that they may know and think they might do a good job. I mean, if we're looking at a mistake that a director makes, it can be in poor casting. Either knowing what somebody can do and casting them outside of something that they can do, especially when we're talking about it, a community theater situation where we've got to move a show through very quickly. We sometimes don't have a ton of time to actually create the show itself. And so you rely on knowing what a person can do a lot of times. And if the person, I hate to say it, but if you cast them outside of their type, you could get yourself into a real problem at a very short notice.
Yeah, right. There also is the thing that some people, and I've seen this happen, it happened a number of years ago when we were casting for a musical. People give, they're terrified, everybody's terrified of auditioning. It doesn't matter how many times you've done it or whatever, but I've seen people that give dreadful auditions, and when you put them on the stage, excuse me, they are absolutely marvelous, and they will absolutely come alive. So it's a very sticky wicket you're going through, and as John says, if you think you know what somebody can do based on past performances, sometimes that has to enter into when you're debating between that person and someone that's just kind of walked in off the street, who you've never seen before, and you don't know exactly what they can do. You really tend to go with the devil you know rather than the devil you don't.
It's right, yeah. Yeah. And if you know that they're cooperative, and they're even if you don't think they're exactly right, sometimes at least knowing that you can get along with them and that they take direction reasonably well might be at least a few points in their favor.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and on the other hand, I don't know, you know, one of our previous artistic director, Leslie, kind of taught me something too as far as community theater is concerned, and that is that I can always afford to have one person who I think has potential and that I know that I'm going to have to kind of drag through and really teach them a lot of things. And that's been almost, it's not that I look for that person, but it's like if I have somebody and I say, okay, I can afford one of you, you know? And if I think that that person can come in and I know that I can work with them and bring them through, then I'm usually happy to do that. And I think that that's important in community theater. Mm-hmm.
That's the only way that you start getting new people involved.
Exactly.
I mean, the whole constant idea is that we want to keep seeing an influx of performers, well, and technicians as well, but performers that come across the stage. And the only way we're going to get a chance to work with new people or to get new people is by training new people. And when they come to the auditions, to take a risk on them, and knowing that as a director, you have to take that risk to hopefully bring these new people up and teach them all the things that actors need to know and performers need to know to be on the stage.
Well, and I think it's just kind of it's part of the education mission of a community theater.
And some community theaters have an education mission. I believe ours does, but I'm not always sure that all community theaters do. Well, and I think we also have we could talk about this forever, but directors, we actually do a training process for our directors as well. No director walks on stage cold. We're not going to just throw somebody into that and let them flounder. There's a certain training process where the directors not only have to assistant direct a show, but they also are supposed to work some sort of technical area as well, either in props or costumes, so that they get a chance to know the whole realm. And I think that is a problem that some directors have, is the fact that they come in thinking they can direct, and they don't have a background necessarily in theater or in how a theater works. And to be honest, you have to have some sort of background in theater. I'm not saying you have to be a trained college theater professional. You just need to have some background in theater so that you know where things are, how they work, how they move and are put together to create a seamless show.
Yeah, I think that's come about in the last maybe 20 years, because I remember, not to denigrate that, but the first time I directed, I had never directed anything before here. I had done it in community theater in Texas, but it was like they needed a director, and they just said, okay, will you do this? And I said, oh, sure. And then when I got there and it was staring me in the face, I really had to reach out to people who had directed before and say, please help, because mm-hmm. I'm not sure how I'm going to get through this. So I think the program that's in place today is much better. It's much better. And I think the actors who want to direct have to realize that just because they've been on stage does not mean that they are equipped to take over and guide an entire production. And unfortunately, you know, some people do, and that's too bad, because I think they would find assistant directing a great joy. I mm-hmm. mean, you have all the fun and not all of the responsibility.
That's right. Well, I think that, you know, and it's true. You get it, and there are, I mean, we know some that some actors who feel that, gee, I'm ready to direct, and the problem is that, you know, either they don't have the knowledge really, or they don't have the personality to do it either.
Mm-hmm.
Which brings us to the other thing that we were talking about, which was hissy fits.
Oh, should directors have hissy
should
fits?
Should directors have a hissy fit? And hissy if fit. So, when?
Well, I think Marcia and I have differing opinions on this.
Oh, so okay. You think they should?
I do think that there are.
How big?
I'm not going to say that in every show a director should have a hissy fit. I think it depends on on how the show is progressing. But I think there are, and I'm not going to say a hissy fit where you throw everything down and walk out of the theater. But I think there are times when a director needs to be assertive and make sure that the company knows that what's currently happening on stage is not sufficient.
Okay, that's because you're a nice guy, John.
Well, I tend to be.
I don't ever throw a hissy fit, but I will go back until people are really sick of me doing it.
What do you mean go back?
Like, oh no, we're going to do that again. That's still not right.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a certain amount of that, you know. And I mean, obviously, in community theater, there's a point at which you say, okay, I think this is where we're going to be. Maybe, you know, but
temper tantrums don't do any good.
No.
As a director, a temper tantrum does no good whatsoever.
No, it doesn't.
It just makes the cast furious. Honestly, I mean, as an actor and as a director, I know full well that I've been made furious by directors who have temper tantrums. They're not functional, or they just don't do any good.
Right.
Yeah. You have to realize when you are directing a group of people.
Volunteers.
Volunteer peoples. I always say you can't fire them. You can't you can't flunk them as you put in college. You have to deal with what is there. And you also have, if you have a cast of 10, you have a cast of 10 individual egos, of which probably the director might have the biggest. So you have to really learn. It's like a study in human nature. You have to really learn how to deal with your cast as an ensemble and with cast members individually. You can usually tell where the problem spots are, and hopefully you can deal with them before you throw a fit. And I'm not sure I like that fit. I like the way John put it. You have to become more assertive and let people know that what they're doing is not going to get them where they want to be.
Right.
And so it's time to shape up or ship out. You know, you have to do that, because bottom line, you owe the best product available to your audience. They're the ones that are paying the money to see that show, and they're the ones that hopefully, if they like what they see, are going to come back. And it's your job to make it the best that you can.
That's right.
That's right. One of the things I think is kind of key to that when you first start out, and I've talked about this to a lot of people, but I learned this sort of early on in directing, is one of the mistakes that directors make is that they don't tell the cast kind of what they expect. And one of the things that I've almost become almost superstitious about is that I have this little ceremony it's not a ceremony, but it's almost a ceremony at the beginning of the Marsha's getting excited.
Oh, a ceremony. Oh, boy.
Good, good.
All right. You're going to sacrifice someone. The ceremony is that I have a thing that I wrote a number of years ago, and I've actually had to rewrite it, but it's all the things I like and I don't like as a director. And I like taking risks. I like this. It's fine to take risks. I like to have you, try things. You know, I'm willing to try things down to the last minute. I give them a little bit of an idea of how I work. And then I tell them what I don't like, which are things like, I don't care much for prima donnas. I don't care much for actors having big fits and things like that. And I go as far as say, I swear, if you have a temper tantrum and walk out, don't come back, because I will do your part. Yeah. I can do your part.
Or we will find somebody who
can. You look great as a leading lady.
Even if I have to put on a dress, I will do it. And believe me, I've done it. So that's the whole point. And actually, the first or second time I did this, it was following a show that in which there were some really ridiculous problems with one particular actress who, temper tantrum, walked out, came back, apologized. I mean, it was just, she was a mental case. And then what happened was, at the next show, I said, I wanted to let everybody know that I wasn't going to tolerate it. And it was going to be, that was the way it was going to be. And I said, when I got to the line about I don't like prima donnas, there was one guy in the cast that snapped his head up and looked at me. And I thought, oh, I wasn't talking about you, but now maybe we are. I never had any problem. Never. And I think and from that day on, that's why I become kind of almost superstitious about, I always want to lay that out, because then at least people know that if they throw a hissy fit or throw a tantrum or decide to test things,
I totally agree. I think directors who don't set expectations for their cast and set them up front at the first rehearsal are doing their show a disservice. And I think that same thing goes for letting the cast know sometimes what your expectations for yourself are as well.
Right.
I think so that everybody knows what playing field they're playing on. And so I'm often very frank with my cast about who I am as a director and what they can expect from me as well.
I think it's kind of like raising kids. You can't set boundaries or guidelines, and if they cross over them, not expect them to have some repercussions, and then you have to follow through. If you say, I will not tolerate this, you may give them one warning, and then if it happens again, goodbye, because it disrupts the whole entire process.
And I'm going to say, I think that this would be a great topic for possibly another one of our podcasts, simply because what are those expectations and where do they go and how do you implement them? And I think that would be a great topic at some point, because I think folks need to know if they don't set them for their own theaters, that maybe they want to start, and where they can start and how we can maybe help with that.
Right.
One other thing I think that directors often make a mistake on is is that they think they can handle a certain kind of material that they can't.
Yeah.
And it's, one of the nice things about our theater, and we're talking about our theater specifically here, is that the directors, we often choose shows with directors in mind because we know what kind of materials they create and how well they do it. But if you're working in a community theater where possibly you get a chance to choose your own material, don't necessarily choose what you like. Choose what you might be good at. If your community theater gets the chance to do dramas, and we could talk about that also because we don't get a chance to do them very often because they don't sell very well. But if you're not a person that knows how to delve into character and really how to bring that out in actors, you might want to choose something a little bit lighter and fairer that you don't have. But if you're not a comedic director, don't work on comedies. If you don't like comedy, what makes you think you'd want to sit for 8 weeks and direct one?
Right. And also,
what director doesn't like comedy? How can you not like comedy?
Well, there are some who do better at other things.
Oh, they just don't. As a director,
like it, but you have to have that.
I don't like comedy. Sense. Get the hell out of here.
No, you have to have a sense of what really is funny and how to time it. Timing is a big thing in comedy.
Yeah. And not everybody should touch a musical.
True.
I've said that to myself many times.
Like directing a Chinese fire drill. Yeah.
I have told myself that many a time that some people should not touch a musical, and I'm probably one of those people. I think there are maybe one or two musicals out there that I could probably touch, but most of them, not really.
It's just a totally different animal.
And you have a lot more people there. Yeah. So, I think we've actually developed a subgenre of theater geeks here, the mistakes directors make. I think that this can be revisited quite a number of times.
Okay,
is not something that we can... We're not done yet,
I don't think.
I mean, when you start getting into the area of mistakes, I think that's certainly... a pretty broad area. So anyway, that is all we have time for this episode of Theater Geeks. And I am Dave Dufour.
I'm John Schaup.
I'm Marcia Fulmer. And we are Theater Geeks.
Cool.
We did it.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Theater Geeks. If you have a suggestion for a topic that you'd like to hear us discuss, or just a question, or just a comment, use our feedback form at theatergeeks.com. Music for Theater Geeks was provided by musicalley.com.